So today we go into our second week of this new sermon series, Remember Whose You Are. Now, this is a topic that should help us all. And I say that in so many ways, because when it comes to growth in the church, whether it be numbers or figurative, the only one that really matters to God is our spiritual growth. And I think that's something that we as believers, as long-term believers of what it means to follow Jesus Christ, forget sometimes. We forget that our spiritual growth is the most important part. And so that is an important factor for us to come today and remember whose we are, because if we remember whose we are, we will define who we are. And I think that is something for us to really grab onto today. Is the idea of who we are really determines and is bound upon whose we are. And I think that is very important for us today. Names are very important in life, aren't they? Now, we all have one. Some of us have many names. Some of us go by many names. I mean, Briarlyn Prunes, you know, I never knew her name for the first year she was here. She goes by many different names. So any day of the week, it could be something different. You just never know. So I stopped trying to guess, and I just learned her name, and I call her Girl. Hey, Girl. I stopped trying what today was going to be. She didn't know I was going to call her out from the stage, but I figured it was appropriate today. But in names, have you ever been in that phase where like you're walking through church, and you're like, you see someone, you have this great conversation, then you go home and you're talking to your wife or your kids, you're like, hey, you remember, you know, he's about this tall, has some hair, he's got eyes, 2 feet. Yes, yes, you know who I'm talking about? Chances are no, right? Because the reality is we see that and we think that. We don't take the time sometimes to get to know somebody, what their name is. And I'm guilty as everybody else. I come up to people, like, hey, how's it going? And I have been guilty of this my whole life. Hey, buddy. Hey, pal. Hey, girl. Things like that all my life. I never took the time to really remember a name. And that is probably a problem for many of us, not just myself. But the reality is do we really know somebody if we don't know their name? Do we really know somebody if we don't know their name? See, that is something that we're going to discover today and continue to discover about who God is. See, God is so infinite, and we can describe the characteristics of God over and over and over again. But I tell you what you can't do, is it's hard to really describe who God is without a name. We know him to be Lord Almighty. We know him to be so many things, the great provider. But today we're going to be talking about the great I Am, which is a very interesting name. How all of who God is can be wrapped up in that simple phrase, I Am. And if you have your Bibles today, you'll be turning to Exodus chapter 3. We'll be in chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. That's Exodus 3, 3 through 15. And so all that wrapped up in these I Am. Let's go to my first slide and we'll see this. Who is God? Who is God? Now, I'm sure I'm not the only person that's pondered this question throughout life. I pondered this when I was a non-believer, and now as a believer, pondered the same question of what it means. Who is God? I don't have an answer for you, I'm sorry. Because there's so many answers, right? Because the reality is each one of us here today will answer that differently. Because depending on what you're going through right now will determine how you describe God today. Does that make sense to you? In your life, what you've been through will determine how you describe God today. But see, this question of who God is and who is he is not a new question. It's a question that many have wondered throughout the years. And not so far in history ago, when Moses was a young lad of 40, he wanted the same question as well, as we're going to find out today in this Exodus 3 passage. Moses needed answers to this question. So he asked directly. Let's read the passage together. Exodus 3, 13 through 15. It says this. Then Moses asked God, if I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the Israelites, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered in every generation. I think it is important to do a little background here, a little background into this question. And we're going to kind of go through this quickly. Most of you have studied your Bible well over the years, and some of you are new believers. So it's important to go through these quickly. But if you'd like a longer explanation, my office door is always open for a longer conversation. So when you look at this background, there was a great famine all throughout the world. But the Egyptians had a storehouse because of Joseph. Does everybody remember who Joseph is? Well, let me remind you, Joseph is the Hebrew Israelite who was sold into slavery by his brothers. Sold into slavery and became the most powerful man in the world because he managed the storehouse of food in a great famine. He wound up in this great position because of God and who he is and how he saved not only the Egyptians, but all the people that came to Joseph for food during this famine time. And see, that is how all this, these Israelites came to be in Egypt at this time. And then years passed and all these Israelites were amassing land and property, growing, people having babies. Like we see how Banner grows, growing babies, one baby at a time. See, they grew in babies too. And they kept getting larger and larger and larger of a population. Until one day, a new Pharaoh came into charge during this time and did not remember Joseph or why the Israelites were there. And because of that, had fear of this great population of people and subjected them to slavery again and bondage. And so you look at that, he feared them because of their great numbers. He feared them so much that he brought down an edict that said, throw the baby boys in the Nile. See, all of you that have read your Bibles enough understand how I just threaded that story together over a lot of time, a long generation of time, to where you get the throwing the baby in the Niles, to where a mother, a woman of faith, put her baby boy into a basket and shoved him down the aisle, Nile, not the aisle. Let's not do that today, babies, okay? Down the Nile. And when that happened, it just so happened that this baby was in the arms of the Pharaoh's daughter, raised as a prince for 40 years, Moses stood over his people and seen the subjugation that was going on and felt compassion for them and was trying to right a wrong. And when he went to try to right a wrong, what happened? He killed an Egyptian. And then what happened? He feared for his life. So he ran to Midian, the desert, in fear of what was going to happen to him. And then we fast forward again. We have another 40 years that happened during that time. And then we see God speaking to Moses from a burning bush. You see how we get there? An interesting time for Moses and his life and what he just seen happen. This reality of what it means. Moses saying, what, me? Why would you choose me? If you just look a few verses earlier than that, you understand what we're addressing there. See, Moses is being called to go call the Israelites out of this land. And he has to go to the Pharaoh to do so. So when you look at that great, great moment, he's going to go to the Pharaoh of Egypt, in which he ran from, which he feared for, because he killed an Egyptian. And now he's going to go ask him to let my people go. So when you look at that, Moses' only reply is, what? He probably didn't say it sarcastically, I'm sure. I see it as, what, me? Who am I? I think the Lord's response is probably the most amazing moment. I kind of hear this in the voice of The Rock. Have you ever seen that great wrestler, The Rock? It doesn't matter who you are. God probably didn't speak that way, but it speaks to me that way. It doesn't matter who you are, Moses. What matters is who I am and that I go with you. So you look at that reality of God saying, it doesn't matter who you are, Moses. You're right. You're a sinner. You killed somebody. You ran away in fear. But I can use you. Why? Because I am. And because I go with you. Now, if you look at the back to the real question here in Exodus 13, then Moses asked God, if I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers who sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? Moses knows a lot. Moses probably knows who this is. I mean, how many times have you been encountered by a burning bush? Moses understands that this is God. This is the Lord Almighty. Moses understands who God is truly. He was a boy put in a basket, raised as that Egyptian, but killed that Egyptian and fled. So it goes back. Go back to where the Lord is commanding here. But in Moses' time, all you can see is that self-doubt. We understand that God's calling him. He understands that God's calling him. There should be no doubt in his mind. But all he can feel is this insecurity, this self-doubt. So he needs some credentials coming forward with him. My God, I hear you speaking to me. But who are you? You see, because Moses tried to free them before, in a sense, right? He killed an Egyptian because they were hurting his family. Tried to free them before. So he looks at the burning bush and he says, I'm going to need your name to go to them with. But more than just the name, he's going to need some credentials. He's going to really need to go to these people and say, hey, I come to you because this guy sent me. And I need to be able to identify you, who you are, and why I'm coming because you sent me. Because when you look at this time, you got to think of the time period here, and funny how it still applies to today, that there was many gods that people believed in at that time, many idols that were worshipped during that time. So when someone comes and says, hey, I come in the name of the Lord God, by which God are you talking about? And you can be sure that the Israelites are going to ask that question to Moses, who's raised as an Egyptian, killed a man, fled, and now is returning. Now imagine that scene. It almost sounds like a really good joke, right? Listen. There's this burning bush, and it talked to me. And he said, hey, go free my people. It almost sounds like a good joke start, but it's not. It's the way God works. And this mysterious way so that he will be known. If you really look at that verse 14, it really implies something. That God replies to him in a very simple form. I am who I am. That seems so simple to us to think through. I am who I am. Which is a true reality. Because we understand what that name means, right? Or we should. For Moses, hearing it from the bush, I am who I am, and then go tell my people, I am. See, we don't really truly fully understand the Hebrew language to grasp the significance of this response. But could you imagine getting that answer? Would you feel bewildered? Would you feel baffled? Hopefully not, because you have a great relationship with Jesus Christ. You have a great relationship with the Lord Almighty. So if you were to get that answer, your response would go, oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. But the reality is Moses was hiding, trying to hide from everybody in a far-off land, on the side of a mountain, talking to a burning bush. And he got that simple answer, but truly wanted to know the answer, right? Remember this response from Moses. Who am I to go to the Pharaoh? Who am I? That's right. Moses, that is a true statement for him. If he was going by his own, if he was on his own accord, his own strength, his own might, absolutely, Moses had no business going to Pharaoh. But he wasn't going by his own might. We look at the I am who I am. He is saying, I am the Lord Almighty. I am the all-powerful. I am. I am. But more importantly, the significance is wrapped up in the idea that he is with him. See, Moses wasn't going at this alone. His own humanness was not the one going to the Pharaoh. Because his own humanness did not have what it takes. But when you go with the Lord in his strength, in his might, in his ways, then Moses had the strength and the ability to do this. Because see, the Lord already responded to him. Man, I am with you. Sorry, I'm using a lot of Teddyisms today. Man and bro. God doesn't speak that way. I'm sorry if you're offended by that, mostly. Because the reality is he's a personal God to us. And Moses speaking to him, he really needed to know. God needed to assure him for whatever reason that Moses was not going at this alone. And God did just that by the simple name of I am who I am. And that is the reality. That is the strength by which he goes before Moses and with Moses. And in the strength of the Lord. The I am is a great reality for all to understand. See, the Lord is looking to communicate something through that. Through that name, the I am who I am. Now, in human terms, I am who I am. Human terms. So I am who I am made to be, right? All my life experience, my knowledge, my education, everything that I have, that's just who I am. That is not what God is trying to communicate here. God is saying, I am who I am. I am the Lord Almighty. I not only give you this strength, but I also go before you. I also go with you. And everywhere you go, I go. See, all this is wrapped up in that simple little phrase of I am. The strength behind it far surpasses any of our thoughts. Isn't that what we want, though? We want a God who goes with us. We want a God who goes before us. We want a God that goes in his strength, not our own. We are not capable. But he is. See, we desire that Lord that's with us. We desire that Lord who is strengthened who strengthens us and gives us the strength to do it. We must take strength in that understanding. He is the one who goes with us. See, there's no sin that can overcome him. Nothing. He is the one who goes before you. He is the one who goes with you. And he is the one that everyone needs to answer to. So when you look at this reality of the great I am, he is the great I am. And I'm adding the word great in there. The I am who I am says so much to us because we need to understand who he is. And in that phrase of I am, we can understand greatly the responsibility that we have to truly understand that he goes with us. Let's go back to the burning bush just for a moment. See the Lord's response in the burning bush. You want a name? I got you a name. Here's what you need to know. I am who I am. See, this is a phrase that the Israelites would understand. This is a name of God that the Israelites would have understood. Now, as a quick side note, and I promise not to go too long on this, the reality that we forget so quickly his name and how great he is. See, the Israelites are in captivity, struggling, trying to make it work, trying to see God in the midst of all the pain and suffering they're going through. But yet, they would have understood the name of I am. See, the Lord gives that simple answer to Israel. Because Israel understood who he was. And although Moses may not have understood who he was fully, the Israelites would when they heard that name. If you look back at that chapter 3, verse 15a, just the first part of it, it says this. God also said to Moses, say this to the Israelites, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. He's telling them, I am the same God that I have always been. I am the same God who created all things. I am God who has done great things in your lives. And that is a reality that we must understand. But here's what he's not saying. The Lord's communication in this is this. I am not one of those Egyptian gods. By saying a simple phrase of I am not a Canaanite God. I am not one of those tribal deities. I am not one to be controlled or manipulated. I am not one to be taken lightly. See, this little phrase, I am, says a lot. I am not small. I am big. I am great. I am the one that can do all things. See, all these phrases being said just by the simple phrase of I am. And also we can know this about God too, by a simple phrase of I am. He will not fail. Now, there's another little side note I can't help but say this. In our Tuesday night men's group, we're studying Revelation and the reality of like he wins in the end. It's something for us as New Testament Christians can understand and rest in. The assurance that he wins in the end. We kind of know the end of the story, right? But with the Israelites, they didn't have that type of perspective. They know who he is and what he's done and that he's all-powerful, all-amazing, and all those perspectives. But they can trust him not to fail because he never has. And never will. That is what God is saying about himself in that simple little phrase of I am. It seems so simple, doesn't it? But here's the truth of what he's saying too. I am the Lord. I have been your Lord. I will be your Lord. And I am the only Lord. All in this simple little phrase of I am. Simplicity is who God is. He doesn't need to expand upon that. Because in the reality of the words I am, he says so much. We'll move into the wrap up today, but don't get too excited. There's a few things I want to share with you about this message that I think is important for us. When we started this message, we were addressing the question of who is God? What is his name? And as we learned throughout this time, which, well, I hope you learned throughout this time, that even during this suffering, he has compassion. Even during the difficult times, he is there with us. Even during the very difficult times, he has a plan forward. See, as he's talking to Moses, this is his plan to move forward. God had compassion on his people during their suffering. Now, wouldn't it have been really simple for that to be the end of the story right there? We could have skipped about 10 chapters, the whole plague thing, you know. But he wanted his name to be known. He could have just went out and brought his people home. Moses went in there, softened the Pharaoh's heart. Everybody returned. Everybody rejoiced. But see, it's chapter 15 when they actually hear the song of praise. We have been set free. We have been set free. So there are 12 chapters. A lot happened. A lot happened to the Israelites. A lot happened to the Egyptians. Because during that 12 chapters, there's a lot to be said about the story told about who God is. Through a simple phrase of I am. I am the God who will walk you through this. I am the God who hears your suffering but offers compassion. I am the all-powerful God who will bring plagues on a nation who go after my people. I am is a powerful phrase for God to use. Because if he just wanted to, it could have just been that simple. Moses go, talk to Pharaoh, his heart changes. They give him all the stuff they need and all the people leave. God is that powerful too. But he wanted to show them who he was and his name be known above all other gods, because that is the way that it should be. His aim is so much higher than something that we could have understood. Now, when we read this chapter, read this book, we see this in the context of the entire Bible. And when you look at the context of the whole Bible, we know that the name of God has been revealed throughout this entire book over and over and over again. We know without any need of clarification in the grand scheme of things that he is the great I am. He is the all-knowing. He is the all-powerful. He is the one who sees us in our sufferings. He is the one who will bring us out of it. He is the one who has a plan regardless of us. You see, that's the God that we serve. That is the I am. But this critical question in the beginning was important for us to answer. It's important for us to understand who he is and that he's more than just a name. He is God who wants to be known. He is not a silent God. He's not a God that you can put in the corner. He's not a God you can put on your shelf and only take off the shelf when you absolutely need him, when you feel like your power is not strong enough anymore. He's not a God to keep in your closet to shield yourself because of your sin. He's a God that wants to be known, deserves to be known, and that we should be making him known by our actions, by our life, by the way we talk, by the way we walk, by the way we live out what he calls us to live out. You see, that's the reality that we have to live in today. See, we have lots of cultural pressures. I always love it when Vince's little speak in between songs aligns with what I'm going to say that day. I don't share my sermons with him in that way, but we always end up aligning on the same sentiment. Because today, these cultural pressures that are around us are real. I mean, we have from marriage, from sexuality to to money, presidents. This cultural pressure is real. But if you know the name I Am, you should be reassured. Because he has been made known. He is known. And he is worth knowing. And see, the reality of that, if we don't know him now, then we should get to know him. If we don't have a relationship with him because we've fallen off the track, then we should get to know him. He is a God worth knowing. He is a God who will change your life once you repent and change of your ways. He is a God that is waiting behind us at every time that we make a mistake, waiting to embrace us upon our 180-degree turn of repentance. He is a God. I am. See, this is a very significant thing for us to understand. Because we, as people, sometimes fall to these cultural norms. We forget who the I Am is. We forget that he's all-knowing, all-seeing, all-caring, all-loving. And we start seeing it as, well, he doesn't see me today because I'm not in the church building. So I'll do my own life. But the I Am is all knowing. And he is known by his people. And he is shown to the world because of his people. So what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that knowledge that he wants to be known? Now he'll go out and make himself known on his own. His power and strength can do it all by himself. But see, in that desire of relationship with you, his people, he will make himself known to you so that you can make him known to the world. Does everything about you, does your walk, does your talk, does your life say that about God? That you are making him known? Only you can answer that question. But he desires that relationship with you to that point. And a final screen here today, as we wrap up, is this. Remember this week, whatever it may bring, remember whose you are. You are seen, you are known, and you are his. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, today we come to you humbly because we are a people who desire that relationship with you, but we're also a people group who at times make mistakes. Father, may our walk and our talk of who we are and who we say we are truly match up with this simple, simple name of I Am. May we make you known because we and our lives that we live out every day match up with who you are. You're the one that calls us, you're the one that draws us, and you are the one that expects much of us. May we bring honor and glory to you by the way we walk and talk. And Father, may you forever be known. Father, we are grateful for you. We see all these things in your Son's precious name of Jesus, and all your people said, Amen.